Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Sport Kite Podcast. I am your host, Nick O'Neill, and I want to thank you for tuning in and listening. In this episode, we talk with another part of one of the teams that is going to the upcoming World Kite Cup at Bourg-sur-Mer, France. This time, it's Phoenix Pair, and they are part of Team Netherlands, and we are really looking forward to hanging out with them, getting to meet them personally, face-to-face, and also watching them fly. I'm really excited to share this episode and a little bit more information about them. I'm going to let them kind of give all of their history, their details, and everything that they're working on. But before we hop into that, I just want to take a second that just in case you haven't already done it, go ahead and like and subscribe to this podcast on whatever streaming platform you're listening to it on. Give us a follow on Facebook and YouTube. We're going to be releasing a lot of videos here shortly of not only Team USA, but all of the other teams that are going to the World Kite Cup. We'll be doing event coverage from the field. Fingers crossed, everything works out and all the travel plans come into place. Make sure you've given us a like, a subscribe, a follow, all that good stuff. And don't forget to let your friends know about this podcast. We are, chugging along and we really enjoy all the feedback that we've gotten. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, thoughts, suggestions, any of that, you can reach out to us at info@sportkite.org. All right, with that, let's go ahead and hop into this episode. All right. Well, welcome to this episode of the Sport Kite Podcast. I have with me two individuals that will be representing at World Kite Cup. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'm Stefan. I'm one half of the Phoenix Pair kite team. So we are pair. I'm flying kites since I think now 13 or 14 years, individual and pair, now mainly pair. We do a lot of competitions, demonstrations during the year. I really love flying kites all around the globe, and I love the aspect of flying kites, demos, and competitions.
Okay, so my name is Ingeborg. I fly together with Stefan. I fly for about 8 years right now, I guess, mostly two line kites, sometimes quad line kites. I think that's it. Yep. Very, very sometimes single line kites, but that's like if the wind is not that good.
fully understand that one where it's like, we're just going to put out something fun today. So y'all are preparing for World Kite Cup. Which team are you representing?
We are representing the Netherlands.
Awesome. Are you both from the Netherlands, or
I'm born in the Netherlands and I moved to Belgium this year 10 years ago, so huge milestone. Stefan is Belgian. He is born in Belgium.
Dutch. All right. Do you folks care to tell me about some of your preparation? You two have been flying together for some time now, right? You didn't come together for the World Kite Cup.
No. We already fly together. Yeah.
7 or 8 years.
7 or 8 years. And with Euro Cup, we made a new ballet and we're trying to improve the ballet for the World Cup.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. And then who else is on the Dutch team for World Kite Cup?
It's Stefan Versteeg from Holland. And then the flying squad. So we will be the Netherlands. We will be representing the Netherlands at the World Kite Cup.
Nice. Have you done any flying with any of those folks before? Stefan probably, but
Stefan did. Yeah, we are focusing on that dual line. But he's everywhere. Stefan's everywhere and very motivated. We're focusing on the pair dual line. We have a lot of talks with Stefan. We're planning a training weekend of training in the next months before Berg. We will also meet in Jesolo, Italy. We will catch up there and do some preparation. But he's flying the individual parts. We're flying the pair parts dual line, so it is quite quite separated. So we don't have to come together to train. We can train all in our part where we live.
Nice. I know the folks on Team USA don't necessarily have the same luxury, so they're working on that. I don't have your scorecard up in front of me, so I can't remember. I believe you guys have competed before, though, at other events as a pair.
Yeah.
Okay. We did. Care to give me the history on that? Yeah, I'm still trying to pull it up on my site.
Just to put it short, there is no association or federation in Belgium, so. Mm-hmm. For competitions, we have to count on other countries, like the UK, France, and we have to go there to fly stacky competitions, sport kite competitions. And it's thanks to them we could improve our level. And the last years we did some regional championships in France. We won them the last year because we were the only pair competing. Yeah. So the year before, no.
The year before there were two pairs, also won.
We also won, so it's okay. But it helped us a lot to improve our level and to get better in flying together, in having good choreography.
And especially for the flying together, it's important for us to do the competitions in outside of Belgium, because in Belgium there are individual competitions, but it's tricks party. And I am totally not interested in tricks. It is not my thing. I tried it. Yeah. You mean I tried, got a t-shirt and decided to not do it again because it was not fun for me. Mm. So for a pair, we couldn't do anything with tricks party, so we looked too stuck.
Yeah. And last year we were at the European Championships for the first time. For the first time there was a Belgian pair representing at the Euro Cup. So, and we ended sixth over there at 0.2 points from number five. So that was quite like so close.
So close. Oh, man.
Yeah. So, but they will also be competing at the World Cup this year. So we're looking forward to it's not about payback or vengeance, but we want to see where we are now and to compare now. And individually, I got the seventh place at the European Championships last year.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah, I was happy with that. So.
Yeah, especially for coming in on the scene so recently, and I'm not sure how much competition got affected during the pandemic on the European side. I've seen some of the numbers, but like over here, that pretty much that stopped all competition over here.
We didn't have any competitions during COVID.
Everything was canceled.
The main advantage we have, and then I'm talking for the European side to say, we have a lot of great teams, pairs, pilots on a very small surface, and we meet often. We can fly together quite often. We can learn. There's a competition going on, and I think there are pairs and teams and pilots we meet like 8, 9, 10 years, times a year. So there's a comparison and there's competition and we want to get better, and then it improves a lot. And I think that is a problem for the UK as well, especially since Brexit. Mm-hmm. Because since Brexit it's very difficult for European pilots to go overseas to say so, because you need a passport, checks, and so and I think if I understood well from American pilots, I know that there are few pilots in the States, quite far away one from another. So it's less opportunities to train together or to compete or to improve.
Yeah, it definitely makes it difficult for us. We've been doing a sport kite camp where we try and get just sport kite flyers together to just kind of hang out and learn from each other. And even that is difficult because you're looking at, it could be a 4 to 6 hour plane flight, plus all the driving, plus, everything else just to hang out with one another. So, I feel for the folks in the center of the country, because at least, around the edges, you've got kind of little groups of people at the beaches that can hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So tell me about your guys' training for and getting prepared for World Kite Cup specifically. You said you're modifying one of your routines for the World Kite Cup. So give me the rundown. Yep. Like what's different than
preparing for, say, just a festival or a performance?
Yeah, I mean, there is not saying about stress, because we got some experience in competitions now the last year, so stress is a lot less now.
Is it?
Yeah, but the World Kite Cup is special anyway. I mean, yeah, there will be stress, but let's say if you fly demonstration and stuff, it's relaxed. We prepare, because for us there's no difference. I mean, the public who comes to see us at an event without a competition, they also deserve quality, and they also deserve a good flight and a nice routine. But of course, yeah, we go the extra mile for some competitions, mm-hmm. as well, because it's unique. It's the first time we're having this big competition in Berksemir with the countries representing, mm-hmm. and with a big competition over five disciplines. Also, before we had the teams the World Cup for teams in Berk until 2020, I think.
I don't know.
And then no, 2020 was cancelled because of COVID. So the last one was 2018. I had the honor to be field director on that event, on that competition. It was amazing to see. But yeah, it's going on now. It's innovating, and we have to innovate. And now we see a brand new competition, five different disciplines. I mean, yeah, the public in Berk will see a lot of different disciplines and routines.
From a lot of different countries.
Yeah, as well.
Because it is also, of course, the US will come, but Malaysia
as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mix up my language.
Colombia.
Yeah.
So it will be nice. And now, yeah, we are preparing. We live in Belgium. We live at 10 minutes from the beach. So it's quite easy for us to go out training if the weather's right. And this winter is quite...
It's raining a lot.
The weather is quite the issue.
Yeah.
like today we had really rainy day, stormy winds. So we're training this. We're doing this, the little sticks.
Stick flying. Yes.
Yeah, stick flying. Yeah. So we spend 1 hour of stick flying this afternoon. And just memory training. It's boring, I know. But yeah.
But you have to do it.
Yes. If you live in Belgium, and of course the UK, the Netherlands, the north of France, it's all the same. And if you have to wait till the weather is nice to fly a kite, you can wait till, I mean, you don't fly for half a year.
Yeah.
Because it just rains.
That's one of the funny parts in festivals as well. If we travel south, and then I'm talking about south of France, Italy, Spain, you go there, usually the weather is nice, it's warm, nice sea breeze, and it's perfect. If you go to the UK for kite festival, it starts raining. And the first time we were there, it started raining. We started falling the kites because, it's raining, we can't fly. And I said, no, you're on. It's your demo now. And we had to fly in rain, vent winds. The kites were soaking wet at the end of the day. But you fly when it's raining in the UK.
And I also think we fly everywhere and always, even up to 70 kilometers an hour or almost zero winds, we always fly. And that's also some kind of preparation for the World Kite Cup, because if you always try to fly your kite, you just get more, and I forgot the English word, experience. Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. You get more experience. And of course, like he said, we live 10 minutes from the beach, and it's very easy to say, the wind is very nice, let's go to the beach. And the wind is very bad, let's stay inside. It's more easy if you live close by.
Training in bad winds is also training, and very good training. So
I'm officially jealous.
That's what you need for Berksemir, because the wind in Berk can be really,
can be zero,
gusty,
can be 50.
0, 50, 80. It can be wild.
Paul and I this weekend, or yesterday, we went down to, we'll consider it our local beach. Mm-hmm. It's about a five and a half hour drive away. But that's Long Beach, Washington. It's a massive, like everybody knows about that mm-hmm. spot. And we have some kite friends down there and stuff like that. But always our problem is if we're up here and we're trying to plan on when we might go, because it's quite a bit to drive down there. Mm-hmm. we have to watch the weather up until about the day before, because it yep. will say, oh yeah, it's going to be sunny this weekend, it's going to be great, it's going to have great wind, and then like the day before it'll be like, no, it's raining.
Yep.
That's so sad.
That's yeah. That's the ocean part. I mean, the influence of wind and tides is even bigger there than at the North Sea yeah. coast yeah. here. I mean, we can look outside, there are some trees, and when these trees, yeah, I can watch those trees and say, okay, wind is good at the beach now, let's go.
So yeah.
It's quite an advantage.
Yeah, we were supposed to have dry but cloudy all weekend down there. And light winds. And we woke up, look outside, and it's raining. And it was like, oh, well,
no. yep.
that was unexpected. Thankfully, yep. it was short-lived. It did dry up, and we got a little bit of flying in after that. So we were fine. So I guess let's talk about both flying dynamic and flying theory and all that. So I do have to ask, are you guys partnered? Are you best friends? I'm always interested in this.
Yeah, we're married. So yeah.
Congratulations. What's it like flying and working with your spouse on the same team?
Well,
this is the most ironic.
Yeah. Well, so that's a very funny question, because yeah, in when we started like 7 or 8 years ago, it was more like a joke. Let's try something. There was mm-hmm. a local kite fest. They were looking for demonstrations, and we were the only two pilots. And I was like, okay, let's try something.
And of course, I didn't fly that long, so yeah, automatically.
It was your first year, I think.
Yeah, I think I flew on for half a year, something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So of course, he was the leader, and he decided what we have to do on what moment, and what moment of the music, and what kind of music.
Yes.
So that was kind of logical.
Yes, and I'm still the leader in the pair. And we agree on that. Like, if we go on the beach, there are decisions which are mine. I mean, let's say that. But before flying a routine now, there are some talks, some negotiations about what kite shall we use, what lines shall we pick, where are you comfortable with?
Negotiations.
No, I know. No. We're past that point now. Yeah, so they're not more. And I ask her now. So that's the last update. I ask her now, what kites are we flying? So yeah. But the ballet, the routine, the lead during the flying itself is me.
Okay. So yeah. You do the choreography and the
we ride together. So at okay. home we write together. We
decide the music together.
Yeah.
We write together. We think both about what is suitable on what moment on the music.
Mm-hmm.
We practice with the sticks and look what fits, what doesn't fit, what
yeah.
do we definitely want to put inside the ballet, what are our strong points, what are our weak points, what is a more risky thing that we have to put on the end of the ballet, because if it goes wrong, we can just say out and bye.
Yeah,
that.
Because
yeah, I meant to crash there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That was my out. That was my finale. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to do the landing like that. I'm supposed to be on one
yeah,
point.
It was on purpose. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we do a lot of competitions during the year in Europe. And we got a lot of feedback from the judges as well. After every competition, we go and see the judges and like, what's your feedback? What are your and we write it down. And then we start working on that, because last year after the Euro Cup, we got some feedback. We wrote it down and let's work on that.
One of the biggest feedback was don't break a bar.
Don't break a bar. Yeah, that's my mistake. But we also get feedback on the way we fly, and there are some judges who might be a big fan of you being leader now. And so, yeah.
There are people telling about me being a leader, but I am for now too insecure.
Okay.
I'm a very emotional person, and it has to go my way or it goes the highway. And if it doesn't go my way, I'm going to cry and I'm angry. I'm angry at myself. I mean, I'm not angry at him. I'm not angry at the other competitors. I'm not angry at the judges. I'm angry at myself, because it should be perfect and everything has to be perfect. So
you are so Dutch.
I am very Dutch. I am very Dutch. So as long as I can't control my everything has to be perfect, I'm not a leader.
I feel you.
I live with one. It's a constant struggle. Yeah. I can just hear him griping from the other room right now. With love, honey, with love. So who picks the music? Do you do it both of you, or is it just one?
Okay.
Or you go, oh my God, I heard this music. What do you think?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Oh, sorry. Who picks the music?
Yeah.
Is it you or both of you or?
Our first music was chosen by him.
My choice. Yeah.
Our second music was chosen by
us.
By us, and the last music is chosen by me.
Yep. She's a huge fan of the TV show, and we saw the trailer and was like, that should be our music for the routine. So that's it, and we started writing.
And it worked out perfectly. Yeah. To be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Very nice. Paul and I don't fly pairs, but it's always interesting watching him process how he picks music, how he listens through music, how he finds music. So I'm definitely interested how other people do that. And then
the process is so different because I'm also an individual pilot, and the process in writing or creating a new ballet as a pair and as an individual. It's mm-hmm. completely different, of course, because, as a pair, you say, what are we capable of? And the question for an individual ballet is, what can I show? What are my capacities? Will I be at 100% or 80% or whatever? And what suits best to my personal style? And it's a very personal. These are personal questions as well. And I think last year for the Euro Cup, I think the final decision for my ballet music, it was like 1.5 months before.
Yeah.
I said, I had two or three music, songs, parts of music. And I was like, 1.5 months before the Euro Cup, okay, that's the one I'll be flying. That's the one I'll be working on now for a month. Every time I go to the beach, I work on that one.
Okay.
It's different.
Yeah. Mm.
Is there certain things you look for? Like, do you guys like, you said you picked some show or a piece of music from a show. Do you look for certain styles of music? You like big stuff, soft stuff? Is there?
I think the difficult thing in choosing your music is you have to look what you are capable for, capable of yourself. Mm-hmm. Because it's very easy to look at, the first one in mind is Starter for us. Do you know Starter?
The world probably, champions. Yeah.
I love their music. I love their flying. They are world champions with the reason. Yeah. But we are not capable to do what they do on their music. We never will. We can love their music, but we can't write a ballet on it. It's not suitable for us. Mm-hmm. Then you have other people who fly on Within Temptation, which is the metal kind of stuff. We are not capable to fly on that either. That's not our style.
They have and years, that makes years it, of experience. Yeah.
If you think about that and then you're going to choose your music, you can skip a whole lot of music. Yeah. And that makes it a bit more easy, but still.
And we want music to be different from the others and to be... It's like, okay, so people will be, okay, that's something completely different because you have those epic music parts, the big ones. Then you have like more musical and Broadway stuff and Disney stuff. Mm-hmm. And there are then some pilots with a different kind of music, like Within Temptation with the metal. It's you don't hear it very often, metal routine, a bit more. And then it's something else, and that's what we are looking for, to have a different style of music to fly on and to be capable of bringing something different.
And in my opinion, it's also important you can show in your music what you are capable of. So we have chosen music. We didn't choose the music. We
picked music.
We chose the music, but we had to... We
had to combine two songs for a new one of the same soundtrack of the TV show, of course, but mm-hmm. we made a mix out of it to have two different parts to show our skills.
So it's a more slow piece of music and a more heavy piece of music, so we can show off that we are capable of both things, and we can do both things. And if the wind is very strong, the first part will be very difficult, but we can manage. And the second part will be more easy because it's more suitable for the heavy winds. Mm-hmm. If it's a very light wind, the first half will be perfect. And the second half will be working and running around, but we can manage.
Yeah.
We will always have half of the music that will be perfectly fine, and the other half which we have to work a lot, but we can manage.
Yeah, we can manage. And this is thanks to feedback we got the last years from other pilots, from other teams, from other pairs, because it's experience you get from flying competitions, from meeting, from flying together. It's this experience you need to perform well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always love going to not only the judges afterwards, but other competitors and asking hey, give me some feedback on what you saw and whether or not I agree with it, right? It's just, to me, it helps kind of it gives the lens from the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're so used to seeing it from flying it, right? Not necessarily seeing it as a spectator.
That's why we often ask for videos from our routines to learn from it. And then,
And then you see the problems. Then
you see the problems. You see the mistakes, and you can work on it. And you say, okay, that's where I messed up. So yeah.
I feel you on that one. I have a love-hate relationship with video. I think it's very very useful.
I did different sports and competitions, and the sports I did for the longest time was alpine ski racing. And every summer we went to the glaciers in Austria. We had video training, so we did some runs. We were filmed, and I remember from that period, that video training it has so much value in the process, but it's quite confronting as well.
Yeah, you definitely learn a lot from it, and it's good actually. You got kind of used to that at a different or in a different space. Than going and being like, oh, okay, guess what? The first time that you're going to go out and perform your kite routine, you're going to have five cameras watching you, and they're all going to post it to YouTube, and you won't know until people start commenting on it.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. this is really valuable. Absolutely. Yeah.
oh, man, yeah, I knew I kind of slipped up there, but whew, okay.
But, I mean, until some years ago, still now. I mean, one of the big problems for me as a leader is that I run a lot. I run too much, and she has to follow. But she runs more than I do.
And because I have to compensate what he does. So I have to walk to run twice as much as him. Yeah. And that's a problem because I can't.
And then at a given moment, somebody filmed us, pilots, and not the kites. They filmed a routine they filmed us. I saw that video, and it was horrible to see. So, man, I'm really running too much. We went to the sports shop close by. We bought
the football.
Yeah, the little football items for training. And now we put them on the beach. This is my position. This is where I'll stay. And we also bring them on the competition field, because for us now it helps to keep in mind where the borders are. I mean, we put our kites against the limits of the field.
Mm-hmm.
We put the little things in where we are, and then we go backwards. And it's we can't get past that point because then we'll be outside the field. Then we get points in minus,
or hit somebody,
or we get disqualified. And so these are things you take. And it's also experience from videos, from feedback, from competitions.
It's interesting you bring up the two of you have a difference in how fast you move across the field. One runs and the other doesn't. Or even even if you're both running, I'm assuming one of you takes bigger steps.
Yes.
And that just really struck home for me because a podcast I did, a group podcast I did, I think it was like a year and a half ago, was about the women in sport kiting and some of the challenges we face when, you know, we've gotten instruction from men and they're like, oh, you just have to take like two steps forward. And we're like, that ain't two steps, honey. That's like me running six steps forward, you know?
Yes.
It's very let alone funny. If you have like a 6 foot tall person who just has to take one step and you're, you know, a 5 foot person's like, yeah, no, that isn't one lunging step. That is running forward. And kind of changing how we talk about things to help better educate. So
that's a fact. If you see me do a 2-point landing and if you see Stefan do it,
yeah.
I have to at first walk backwards to run forward to take the pressure out of the kite because otherwise I just cannot do it. Mm. And he can stand still and do like, done.
Yeah.
that's the difference for female. It's different for female.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's, for I mean, women. That's something you talked about with Laura from Accelair. And also, I mean, flying as a female person is completely different. It's, yeah, other muscles, other another position as well. It's, yeah.
Especially in the heavier winds. I mean, in low winds, it's like, it's low wind. You don't have to compete against each other and the wind.
Mm-hmm.
If you have strong winds, you're competing against each other and you're competing against the wind. So you have to really keep in mind, what's my position? Do I have enough room to put down my kites? Am I not going to fly with my kite? I mean, doesn't it pull me forward? Can I keep control of the kites? I think as a woman, you have to keep more of that in mind than as not a woman.
No, but it also affects the choice of kites. What kite will you be flying? Yeah. What brand? What type of kite?
Line.
What lines will you be using? Because it all affects the flight and the forces coming back to the body and how you can handle it. And I think that's been the toughest part so far, finding the kites for us as a pair who suits us best for both our skills.
Finding
and not just one.
Very difficult.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, finding the kites is key.
Yeah, I've referenced that women's roundtable chat podcast to a lot of flyers that I've talked to. They're like, how do we get more women on the kite field? And I'm like, go listen to this podcast right here. It like I think there was like 20 women on the chat and they're all saying like the same things of like, we run into this problem and then we bring it up and we're told, no, just do this. And it's like, no, you know, we're telling you, like, you're taking one lunging step and you're just telling us to run faster.
Yeah. No, what you mean. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I had some problems with that. Yes. And then we asked some people about it. What can we do? What can I do? And what do I have to improve? Do I make a wrong movement with my arms? What am I doing wrong? And then they're like, let me show you what I do. And they pull two lines and the kite does whatever he has to do. And I do the same, but I can't manage. I don't have the muscles. I don't have the power. I don't have the two steps like you just said. It's in my opinion, it's very different. And sometimes it's also difficult. I think it's important women talk with each other about the problems they have because it's totally different from the men who have a problem because the men are most problems like, I can't do this, in our case, trick. I can't manage to do the trick. How do you do it? And another man explains it like, okay, you have to pull these two lines and whatever, and the kite does what you do. But for a woman, it's also important to keep in mind, how do I position my body? How do I choose the right kite, the right lines? That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are people who don't need all the positioning of your body and stuff like that, but yeah.
But it's also very interesting to see. I mean, thanks to kite flying, we went to a lot of places and we saw a lot of female teams as well, like
Valkyries
from Colombia, the China Dolls as well. And it's lovely to see women's teams flying together, because it's a completely different style, completely different way of flying. And it's more on aesthetics. It's more on choreography. And it's also very beautiful.
Yeah, I really love, it's something I've loved about the majority of the kite community is the gender equality, right? Is that, hey, you know, we all bring different flavors of flying. And that's more what you're judged on than necessarily dividing the field by gender, like we do in other sports.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Agree on that.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll move on to something that's a little bit more Kite Cup specific. Is there anything in particular you're looking forward to from the Kite Cup?
For me, it's I wanted to see the first time for doing a whole week of kite festival, but we have been to India, that's different. Yeah. But it's the first time for being a whole week on
in Berg.
And that's last year we only did, or I only did weekends. Mm-hmm. So I'm very curious how that will work out, and just to see what all other people will show. Blah, 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 blah. What all other people will show for ballets, because we didn't, I didn't see that much of the Colombian teams and the Malaysian teams neither. So I'm very curious about the other people. Do people have different ballets? Did they have different music? Do they do other stuff? Yes or no?
Yeah, that's for. I did two times. I did the entire week in Berg in 2018, 2019. So yeah, I saw a lot of the teams also this year. It's special to spend 9 days in Berg, because it's like it's a bubble and it's only about kites during the 9 days. You really don't realize anything what is happening outside that part of the world during that week. And it's so intense, it's so beautiful, it's so nice to live, and it's the whole experience. It will be awesome. I know for sure.
Yeah, we get the same here with the Washington State International Kite Festival. It's a week long event in Long Beach. It happens to be where Paul and I met, and we try to go back every year since then. Mm-hmm. But it is a lot when you're spending a week of flying and a week of being surrounded by, you know, your people, the people that do your thing, right? And just kind of like soaking up all of that. And it's some of the best friendships I have and have sustained for the better part of like 15 years have been those from the kite field.
Absolutely. I can imagine. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, and you see those people like what, once to maybe three times a year, and they're still better friends than people you see. Like,
For us, that was the hardest part during COVID, because we talk about the kite family, it's our second family, and but we miss them during the COVID years because, we meet not three times a year, but like I said before, like 6, 7, 8 times a year we meet, and then it's a whole weekend, and you share those moments, but you also talk about other stuff than just kites. You get to know each other in a more personal way, and it's our second family. And then all of a sudden we didn't meet during 2 years during COVID, and that was really, really, really difficult. That was emotional for us.
Same here. And not seeing, you know, people that, again, had, like you said, they became family. And I mean, granted, we had our virtual chats, but it still wasn't the same. Right? It didn't hit the same.
Yeah.
I mean, I've traveled around the world and gone to kite festivals completely based just solely on the trust of kite people, right? Someone I've never met I went to India as well twice, having never met the person that's inviting me and is going to take care of me and just be like, okay, here we go, you know.
We feel you. But still, it's for me, India is one of the best guide experience so far.
It was very special.
It's
different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very different. I didn't do the Gujarat one. I did one in Delhi and one in Kerala, India.
Yeah.
And it is just a whole different experience than any Western hike festival.
Absolutely.
And trying to explain it is
You can't. I mean, we got back from India and we were at home and like, what did we just live? I mean, yes. What's this? What did just happen to us? And yeah, we did the Gujarat festival and we traveled to different places. So it's the guide group in a bus,
standing
together, having fun together, not looking the road, not looking how they drive. Just please don't. But then you go to different places and you see those unique places like Statue of Unity, which was unique to be at, and mm-hmm. you see things you would never see otherwise. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unique.
Yeah. So I guess my last question about the World Kite Cup specifically is that so far, a lot of the people I've talked to, I mean, yes, they're interested in placing. Yes, they're interested in winning and stuff like that. But almost everybody seems to be coming with the mentality or the idea of, I'm coming to represent and just do my best. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, meeting other people, the camaraderie and all that. So are you guys...
We have.
Are you guys waiting for the medal, or?
Yeah. I mean, between kite pilots or competition flyers, there's tactics are also involved. There is the mental game months before, which is going on right now as well. I mean, in 1 month we will meet kite flyers from France and the Netherlands in Jesolo in Italy. Yeah. And I'm sure they will not show their routine to us or they will fly, like, say, 3 or 4 routines during the weekend. One of them is the competition routine, but they will not tell which one because we know people will be filming it. And you don't want your routine to be published somewhere before the competition because you want to surprise judges. And there's the mental game as well. And a part of the mental game is also not telling before about your ambitions and about your personal goal. I mean,
I have a different opinion than
you.
Yes,
I know.
I don't know how to say this in another way than I'm going to say it right now. I don't care for competition.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, everybody who comes to a kite festival to watch kite flyers is... We've been to a France party yesterday, so yes. I'm mixing up my languages. okay. Everybody who comes to a kite festival deserves the best from the kite flyers. Mm-hmm. If it's mm-hmm. a competition, if it's not a competition, yeah. Everybody deserves the best. For me, a competition or a demonstration deserves the same... mindset, the same high quality of kite flying. So I'm going to do my best for Bert, yes, but I do the same kind of my best for Jesolo, and I do the same kind of my best for Narbonne, blah, 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 yeah, all of the other kite festivals.
Yeah.
For me, that is no different. For you, it is.
Yeah, between us in the team, we talk about personal ambitions, but yeah, not too explicit because it will put a lot of pressure on the shoulders of those who are competing. So you better don't. And then we talk about it, but we will not like talk about it outside of the group. We'll not tell, we're trying to get that one. We don't do it before the competition. We will all say we'll go for the win. All kite flyers say they'll go for the win. but we all looked at the teams and we say, okay, that's a favorite and maybe these will be at the same level as we are, or we will all say we'll go for the win, and we all have another thing in mind.
Yeah,
It's this, yeah.
I mean, no one's going to turn down if they get on the podium.
Of course not. But
I was just here for the friendship. It's like, I got the. I got first place. I'm good.
Yeah, but of course, those who will end on first place and they will be very happy and they will deserve it. And if afterwards, if we manage to get a nice place or to realize something very beautiful, then okay, we will be very grateful for it, and we will.
Just happy if we fly our. But competition that, and if it's good and if I can be happy with it. I mean, if I miss my landing, I have to do a circle and I do a square, I'm most definitely not happy. Even if I get first place with my mistakes, I'm not happy because I made mistakes.
Because you know, I will blame you about it for the whole year.
I will blame myself. Because for me, it's more important to fly the ballet as it is inside my head, as it should be inside the air. For me, that's more important than the points of the judge. And that's sometimes very difficult if you do competition.
If you get beaten by someone who is better, then we have to improve. Okay. Yeah.
But that's I kind of get what you're getting at. I get what you're getting at is that... this is something I know Paul and a handful of other people have talked about, is there is a difference between when you're going to competition and you're trying to beat someone else versus the mentality of I'm going there to best myself.
Yes.
I want to beat the previous me. Right. Mm. And if I don't at least hit the minimum me, then I feel I didn't win type of thing. Mm.
Yeah.
So exactly. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Thank you for making it. Yeah.
I do sports outside of kiting, and I spend a lot of time around Paul talking about his competition theory from being a competitor in the 90s up through recent. So yeah, it's a common topic here in the house.
Yeah, and it changed a lot between the 90s and now.
Lot. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. So do y'all have anything else you want to talk about regarding either World Kite Cup or yourself or the pair? Or
Just looking forward to great season and to great emotions, great events.
I'm looking forward to see our friends again.
Yeah, well, the kite family again.
Yes.
It's a long winter.
And to meet new friends.
Yeah, and meet new friends. Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to meeting you. Finally.
Yeah, we've only known each other via virtual stuff.
We only met in pixels. Now in Berk, we'll meet for real.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I might have something happening that hopefully doesn't keep me from coming, but I should be there even if it's a little late. So we'll see.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for this. We'll go ahead and sign off on the episode and we'll see you guys out on the field.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for having us.
All right. I hope you like what you heard here, and do go find them on Facebook. You just look for Phoenix Pair. They are a wonderful team. They've been flying together and putting out some great stuff, and we can't wait to share some coverage of them from the World Kite Cup. So again, make sure you've liked us on YouTube, followed us, all that good stuff. And we are going to head on out. It looks like we got some training to do, or at least capture some training of Team USA. So we're going to go on out, enjoy the win that we've got here, and we'll see you out on the kite field.